Right. Well, just so you know, being last speaking on the same topic means that first couple pages of what I was going to talk about has already been talked about. So, that's great. That's wonderful. No, it's okay. I appreciate everything that's been said today. Definitely love hearing people speak about God and Jesus and their experiences with him. I'm just going to play right off of what Alexis just said just a little bit ago, and we'll just jump right into it. Us being the light of the world, the light is Jesus. And when I realized that it wasn't my light that was supposed to be shining, it wasn't my example, it wasn't what I was doing that was supposed to be showing the world, it was just a reflection of Jesus, that took a huge weight off my shoulders. Because when we feel like we have to measure up, we can only do, we have to do the things that are laid in front of us, we have to be right on time, we have to do everything exactly right, we inevitably fail. And when we fail, that creates guilt and anxiety, and there's just so much pressure that we put on ourselves. And I'm speaking from my own experience, but knowing that we're reflecting the light of Jesus is just like, whew, just take a deep breath. Whoops, did not break that. But let's take a deep breath, because I'm always going to mess up. Like Mom was saying about her light not being shining when my hair got all cut off. But most days my light is not a good light to shine. It's not something that I want people to remember me by. And so that grace that God gives us in knowing that Jesus is our salvation, it's freeing. But, how do you share the light of Jesus? Just practically, how are we able to just share that light that is Jesus? Because we get told, and I've been told years and years, I grew up in the church, we have to be like Jesus. We have to share his word. And how do we do that practically? How are we able to do that? And what I've come to learn for myself is we have to be in a relationship with Jesus. We have to learn about him. It's just like if you meet someone new or you're in a new relationship, how do you get to know that person? You spend time with them. You talk to them. You listen to them. You hear their concerns. You hear the things that they like, the things they don't like. That's exactly what we're supposed to do with God, with Jesus. We get to know him. And how do we get to know him? We immerse ourselves in his word, and we spend time in prayer and meditation. There's so many times in the Bible that talks about Jesus going off and praying. It talks about being ceaseless and constant in prayer. Prayer is our communication with our Father in heaven. And that's part of the way that we get to know him. That's part of the way that we allow his Spirit to reveal things to us. So just jumping into that relationship with Jesus is so important. The past couple years have been a trial for me, because I started, I worked full-time job, and I started getting these migraine headaches, and they became closer and closer together and more intense, and I couldn't do the things I wanted to do. And I felt useless, and ended up not being able to work anymore. If anyone has dealt with migraines, they probably understand that. But in that time, and it's been a good 3.5 years now, in that time, God just spoke to me and said, I am enough for you. You don't have to be good in your job. You don't have to do all of these things to make yourself feel worthy, because I've already made you worthy. In that time, I started, like I said, just spending time one-on-one with God, spending time in His Word, and I would just read books at a time and just kind of let the Spirit speak to me. And I have to tell you, every time I open the Bible, I learn something different about God. I learn something new about myself. So you will never come to a point at which you'll be like, oh, I'm done. I've absorbed all that I can. I know all I need to know. I don't need to look anymore. I mean, I don't care if you've read the Bible 100 times or more. There's always more to be revealed by the Holy Spirit and His Word. So in looking in the life of Jesus, how did He show light Himself to the world? He loved them. He met them where He was, where they were. A lot of my verses that I picked out have already been read, but hopefully I don't repeat too many of them. But John 3:16, this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. And then in 3:17, God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through Him. I mean, so how does that mean anything to us, and does that translate into the way that we should act? He sent His Son not to judge the world. His Son, who is completely pure, was sent not to judge the world, but to save the world. So how are we supposed to act toward one another? We love. That's the bottom line. It feels very simple, but it is the bottom line. We show respect and kindness to everyone we meet, and we always have in mind the worship of the Father. In Isaiah, it talks about when He was brought into the throne room of God, and there were angels and beings, and the only thing that He said over and over and over was, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Just over and over and over, it's always holy, holy, holy. So in our lives, as we're doing anything, it should be holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I don't care if you're taking your kids to school. I don't care if you're a nurse or a doctor or whatever. Every interaction that you have with other people, every time that you are awake in the back of your mind, your actions should be speaking, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Because that's our worship. Our worship to God is our lives. So always be seeking the face of the Father. And you can make connections with people that you meet that way. Because that's what Jesus did. He made connections with everyone that He met. He didn't, like I said, He didn't judge them. He met them where they were, and He showed them love and kindness constantly. And their hearts were changed by those interactions. And ultimately, we need to understand, I think this was already said a couple times, but we need to understand we don't make our salvation happen. It's by God's grace that we're saved. All we're doing is showing the grace and love of God to those around us. In Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, it says, but God is so rich in mercy that He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Our salvation has totally been a gift from Jesus. And that sacrifice that he made while we were completely overwhelmed with our own choice to be sinful, God said, I love you. I love you enough that I'm going to give my life for you. And that in itself, just knowing that it's nothing that I can do, it's nothing that I've done, it's nothing that I will ever do. Just allow that to settle in to your lives on a daily basis. When you see people around you, know that just like God loves you that way, he loves every single other person on the face of this earth that exact same way. I think that we have a tendency to put people in categories, and we might not even realize we're doing it. See someone that's dressed well, and in our minds, in the back of our minds, we think positively about that person. We see someone that is dressed poorly and maybe hasn't showered for a week or so, standing on the side of the road looking for help. And in our minds, we might feel, you know, mercy towards them, but we also kind of put them in a different position. I really feel, I mean, God has put it on my heart that to be able to love people effectively, we need to know that there's no different levels for us. We're all on the same level. The person who has been completely successful in the business world or in whatever their field is and is taking care of themselves, and there's no difference with them and the person that can't even feed themselves daily. God loves each and every one of us the same. We are all important in his eyes. So we should see that when we see other people. And, you know, something that I always struggled with was, you know what? I love God. I love Jesus. But I don't have anything special to say to anyone else. You know, they don't really need to hear anything from me because I don't have this amazing testimony of where I was down in the depths of sin and was turned around. I don't have anything to share. There's nothing that they're going to be able to get from my testimony. The great thing, I came across this verse in 1 John 5:10. It says, whoever believes the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And 11, it tells us what it is. And this testimony is that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you struggle, just go back to the source. Go back to your first love, because that's where it all comes from. That's where we get our freedom. It's in the sacrifice that God has given us. We've talked about this a little bit today, other people, but in response to that great love and knowing God in relationship and seeking him out there, we need to evaluate our actions. Light has to look different than darkness. And a tag on that, light doesn't expect the darkness to look like it. In Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. We are supposed to look different. When you have a dark room and a light gets turned on, it changes the atmosphere, changes the feeling of the room. We are supposed to look different than the world. But remember that verse, we're not to judge the world. They don't have the light of Jesus in them. They're not supposed to look. Why would we expect them to look like Jesus when they don't have Jesus in their hearts? We're supposed to share that love regardless of their actions, because they're acting on what they know and what we were pulled out of when we accepted Jesus. They're acting on their sin or their selfishness. And I mean, honestly, if we're honest, we struggle with that still. Even knowing Jesus, we struggle with living in that selfishness and denying that selfishness that we have. So our job, once again, is to show love to those around us. Being different than the world means not looking like the world. The Spirit lives in those who have accepted the salvation of Jesus. The Holy Spirit prompts us to be more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus, as we should, reflecting the light. When we accept Jesus and the gift that he's given us, he turns right around and gives us more gifts. It's not just the gift of salvation that we have, but he has blessed us with the Holy Spirit. He has blessed us with him living inside of us. If we are children of God, then we are to listen to his voice, not the voice of the devil or simply the world around us. I know Becky talked about that. It's very, very easy to listen to the voice of Satan, because he's always talking in our ear. We may feel like, oh, you know, I don't listen to the devil. I don't do what he says. But what if he's saying, you're not good enough? You can't go and do that. Don't go and talk to that person. You don't have anything to say, just like I said. That is the voice of Satan. And we have a tendency just to fall back on that voice and just hear it all the time. I think as women, it's very easy to become self-conscious. It's very easy to dwell. I mean, Satan plays on our weaknesses, and he's very, very good at it. I have a tendency to worry. Does anybody in this room have a tendency to worry? I bet you do. I have a tendency to worry. And my husband, he says, I see you spiraling down into this hole, and I try to pull you out, but it's very difficult. I was like, the hole that I spiral into is, well, what if this happens? Well, the kids are starting at a new school. What if someone's mean to them? And then what if they don't make any friends? And then what if they get hurt? What if someone makes fun of them? How is that going to make them feel? Is that going to affect them later in life? I mean, I could go for a long time. And that just, I mean, that covers my whole life. It's not just about my kids. It's about my marriage. It's about everything. You know, what if, what could happen that is negative? We have a tendency to focus and worry. God tells us not to be anxious and not to worry. And Satan's always telling us, oh, this could happen though. So we need to learn to listen to his voice. And it's a practice. You have to practice listening to the voice of God. Ask him to speak to you every day. That may sound silly, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And you need to ask him to start speaking to you so that you will be able to say, hey, that's the voice of God talking to me. The more that you're around someone, I don't know who I just heard this from, but if your parents, like if my mom were to call me on the phone, I would know it was her, because I know her voice. If somebody else, just like a 1-800 number or whatever, they call me, I have to wait and hear who it is, because I don't know who they are. But if my mom calls me or my husband calls me, I know immediately, oh, you know, that's them. I can trust that voice. So learning to listen being in constant communication with God is going to allow you to know that it's his voice speaking to you and not the devil. The Bible says in John 10:14, my sheep know my voice. And that voice is like what I told you. That voice is the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you and is wanting to be in constant communication with you. So if the Spirit prompts you to do something, we should respond. We should say yes. We don't need to check our calendars. We don't need to make sure we have enough money in the bank. If the Spirit is telling you to do something, it's time to move. That is super difficult. You know, Mom told that story about me walking over and praying for that family. I sat there in my chair for a good 5 minutes before I got up, and I was saying, are you sure you want me to go over there, God? I literally was having a conversation with God, put it on my heart, you need to go pray for them. And I mean, it sounds funny, but I was sitting there saying, I have no idea what to say. I don't know them. I mean, I assume that they're in a bad situation because we're in the ICU. That's all. I didn't know anything about them, and I was very uncomfortable. I didn't want to get up and walk over because you never know how people are going to respond. Who's talking to me right there? That's Satan, right? He's saying, they're going to tell you you're an idiot. They're going to tell you, I can't believe you are invading my space right now. But they didn't. God said, go. And I was like, all right, fine. I went over there and I prayed for him. It was, you know, nothing super exciting happened other than, you know, I feel like God blessed me through that. And I'm guessing that he blessed them. They did respond to me the next day and thanked me for that. But you never know what's going on. It was just like that skit. You never know what's going on in the hearts of people around you. And if God is prompting you to do something, you know, walk over to this person and say, oh, you look like you're having a hard day. Can I give you a hug? Have you ever seen a mom with some toddlers and they're pulling on her clothes and she just looks tired? Have you ever, like, felt this prompting? Oh, I can just go over and just be like, I know how you feel, and it's not going to last forever. And can I just give you a hug? I got to tell you, there would have been a million times in, when my kids were younger that I would have been like, yes, I need a hug. You know, I mean, if God prompts you to do something, it's going to be a blessing for them, and it's going to be a blessing for you. Because when you practice saying yes, the more you say yes to God when he asks, the more he's going to ask and the more you're going to know that it's him asking. So I'm just going to move on to Ephesians 3:18-19. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Once you accept that love and just start to grasp how great it really is, that light just starts to shine from you because the burdens are lifted. And you start feeling a peace that can only come from God. A peace in the midst of trials, that the world is looking at you saying, how can you have peace right now? How can you be joyful right now? That is a supernatural gift. That is not something that comes in the natural. And we need to grasp at those gifts and just allow God to bless you with that. The power that comes from God is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit that he's given you to work in you so that you can show his love to everyone else. It's not our job to convert or change hearts. Once again, it's our job to show Christ by sharing love. In John 16 through 8, or 16 verse 8 says, "And when he comes," meaning the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." I think that a lot of times, at least I went through a long period of my life where I felt like, well, I got to tell people that they need to stop doing this, this, and this. What you're doing is wrong. You need to understand what you're doing is wrong. Well, telling people they're wrong, trying to convict them of their sin, is not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. And when we start telling people that they're wrong, that is judging them, they're going to turn their backs on us. Because we get judgment from everyone. Why would we accept judgment from someone who's trying to tell us to accept Christ? Why would we want to even listen to that? It's not our job to convert or change. It's our job to share Christ. It's our job to share love. And in that love, the Holy Spirit is going to plant a seed in their heart. You may not see that seed come to fruition, but it's there because the Holy Spirit put it on your heart to share with them that love of Christ. In Galatians 3:3-5, it says, "How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ." Obviously, the new church was dealing with the same issue. We've accepted the gift of Jesus, and then we turn around and try to work for our salvation. Try to say, "Oh God, you know, I'm good enough. Let me show you why." But all of our works will never add up to anything worthwhile when you set it next to the holiness of God. You have to continue your life in the Spirit, and all that means is surrendering to His will. Doesn't mean you're perfect, because we're never going to be perfect. Not until He's taken us home and He's cleaned us and purified us of our sin and that selfishness that lives inside of us. We're not going to be perfect. We're always going to mess up. And it's okay, because we have the grace of God that overcomes all of our mistakes. And that, again, I think is a freeing message. You don't have to do it all on your own. You don't have to be perfect. I think I said this earlier, but how many times do women just feel like, okay, I have to set everything up and it has to be exactly right. And if we divert from that, then the whole day is worth nothing. I guess we'll just start tomorrow. And we hang on to that guilt. We hang on to that destructive thought process. We need to just grasp onto the freedom that we've been given. It's a gift. You already have it. You have that freedom to love. Even though you mess up, that's your testimony. I mess up all the time, but God still loves me. In 1 Corinthians 2:10-11, it says, "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." We're not going to know what God wants unless we listen to the Spirit that's living in us. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the power living in you. And that's how we know what God, the very thoughts of God, it says it right there, the very thoughts of God are from the Spirit. And he wants to share that with us. So, you don't have to do anything on your own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is the Holy Spirit, which is God living in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" Galatians 4:5-7, it says, "God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Since you are his child, he's made you his heir." We're not slaves to our selfishness anymore. We're not slaves to whatever plagues you, the guilt. We don't have to keep turning back to that. We've been set free to actually look in the face of God himself. He wants us to call him Daddy. He wants that close of a relationship with us. One final verse. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Love comes from God. We can't love without God. And we can talk about love all day long and act another way. We need to act in accordance with the Spirit that is wanting us to love. And I just have a little thing that I wanted to read real quick. First, you know, if we allow the Spirit to work in us, he can do amazing things. Things that could never happen in the natural. We need to realize we can't put walls around God. God doesn't live in a box. God created the universe and has sovereign power over it. He is Lord of all. So once we, like I said before, the minute we decide we have God figured out, he's going to say, "Nope, you don't have me figured out." So God is revealing himself in new ways to us every day if we allow him to. I just want to challenge you all to see what that means. How far can we, I don't know if this is the right word, but how far can we push that? God wants to do amazing things through you. Don't let Satan keep telling you that you can't do it. He wants to do amazing things that are even far beyond what you can imagine. All we have to do is to just say yes more than we say no, even when it's scary. So what if we dreamed big dreams with no limit, world-changing dreams? What if we didn't allow fear to stifle those dreams? What if we allowed God to fuel our dreams and give them purpose? What if we stepped out of our comfort zone and stopped talking about what should be and start acting? What would the world start to look like? What if we didn't wait to ask for permission to help someone or to start a ministry or whatever? What if we just did the work and didn't care if we were noticed? Could the world change? What if we lived our life with joy, the joy that is only possible from the Holy Spirit overflowing inside of us? What if we no longer put limitations on God? And what if we realize his power is mightier than anything we could ever imagine? Could we give our dreams to him, knowing that he gave them to us first? What if we let go of the need to be in control, and in letting go, we're freed to be exactly who we were meant to be, exactly who God wants us to be and we actually want to be? What if we accepted an unconditional love that once truly accepted changes our whole life? What if? I think it's very exciting and scary to say, "God, come in my heart. I'm ready." But the results are the things that are written in the Bible. The results are what Paul did. The results are what Gideon did in the Old Testament. The results are amazing things that we could never accomplish on our own. Just what if that could happen? Thank you.